Okay, this is the last part of our series of hearings. And I guess we're going to start with you, Megan.
Four years ago, I attempted to unclutter the area underneath our TV. I thought I could build a PC that would act as our TiVo, play our DVDs, and as an added bonus, help us share all those cool videos on YouTube. I have given up this quest because I discovered that to build anything reasonable would also be illegal. Myth TV is a fine replacement for TiVo, but it can't play DVDs, and there aren't many options available for Linux systems. I could use an Apple product. It could play DVDs, but there's not much available for video recorder software. Certainly not anything as cheap or as popular as Myth TV. There still isn't. I could have used Windows XP Professional, but I also couldn't play DVDs on that unless I bought extra software. In 2008, when the Netflix membership we had already purchased suddenly started to include streaming video, I returned to my efforts, and I gave up for a second time. Despite the great new services the content companies have claimed to have made available, it is still true that anything I built would also be illegal if it were to be reasonably useful. It's only television and movies, so why would I, not representing anyone, bother to fly to DC for one day to argue for the ability to watch more of them more conveniently? Because The Princess Bride is one of my favorite stories, because I love to watch nature TV shows and learn biology, because I learned to love math from square one, because they're an important part of our culture. Access to them should be limited only insofar as it is required to tempt people into creating more of them. Tinkerers and builders should not be criminalized for making non-infringing uses of content that has been legally purchased. But these arguments have already been laid out. I am here today to respond to the arguments of the commenters. The American Association of Publishers argued that consumers would never purchase streaming subscriptions that they didn't have the hardware to view in the first place. This argument ignores the fact that most consumers have multiple devices on which it is possible to view multimedia content. Having restrictions where it is available on one but not the other is inconvenient to the consumer and frustrating. Specifically with Netflix, however, the streaming subscription is automatically included in all of their plans. All Netflix subscribers are allowed to use their online streaming service. It's not something you purchase in addition to the subscription, provided, of course, that they have the right platform. They also argued that I had a plethora of viewing needs and that to expect to serve all of these at virtually no cost does not justify an exemption. I would argue there's a large market for a device that would replace all of the various single-purpose consumer devices that sit near our televisions these days that this market is underserved. This is what I mean when I talk about the substantial harm caused by not granting this exemption. The only platform that comes close is a Media Center edition of version of Windows, but its DRM has proved difficult to deal with for most consumers. Competition in this arena is hard to come by because of the difficulty of reaching license agreements with various content creators. The same content creators, I would point out, who claim to be making this easy on consumers. As somebody who knows computers and plays with them, I can tell you it's not. And if it's not easy for me, it's certainly not easy for the average consumer. All of the commenters that oppose this exemption argue that this control causes no substantial harm because anything anyone would want to get their hands on is available via other means. A cable subscription is double or triple the cost of a Netflix membership. To argue that I should pay $60 a month for a show I want to see every once in a while is hardly reasonable. As for the local DVD rental place, requiring somebody to open an additional account with an additional company when they have already legally purchased a subscription is a little silly. Just because it is possible with significant time and money and resources to overcome the restrictions on platform controls does not mean it's reasonable to expect consumers to do so. At this point, I expect the commenters would like to jump in and say they have a lot of new services and ideas planned that are going to roll out to address these platform restrictions issues. These are the same platform restrictions issues that they are attempting to argue don't really exist in the first place. Regardless, they say they are doing their best to come up with options that will work with all consumers. This argument only works if one assumes that standard market forces are promoting healthy competition. Time Warner even goes so far to say as that the platform restrictions will spur creativity by competitors looking to get in the game. If this were true, then Netflix would have a streaming client for Apple laptops that have PPC chips. There is no such client, because it would compete with Apple's own movie rental service, and Apple refuses to license its digital rights management to Netflix. There is one dominant commercial platform in the personal computer business, and that's Windows. There is one niche commercial platform that is significant, and that is Apple. If operating systems were only in the business of building a playground for applications to run in, then it might be true that competition would spur reasonable alternatives. But both Apple and Microsoft have businesses that include movie rental and streaming video, interests that run counter to making it easy for other companies to compete. If the restrictions were lifted, the commenters claim, they would be less willing to roll out new streaming services for fear of having their products end up on peer-to-peer networks. First, let's address the supposed willingness to allow streaming video. Netflix was started in 1997. The DMCA was passed in 1998. That means that the protections content creators claim were necessary to allow them to roll out streaming video have been available for 11 years. Despite this, it was only in 2008 that Netflix was able to complete a licensing deal that allowed them to begin streaming movies on demand to TiVo devices. It was consumer demand that dragged the video content companies into movies on demand, not a willingness to venture into a new area because of protections offered by the DMCA. Regarding the content company's fear of lost revenue, most online music sales have already dropped digital rights management restrictions and any accompanying protection offered by the anti-circumvention clause. It was simply bad for business. Consumers will do the right thing if it's easy, and most consumers would prefer to buy their music from a reputable source instead of downloading it illegally, for the same reason I prefer to get my groceries from a store instead of a dumpster. All of this discussion is worth nothing, of course, if the American Association of Publishers' claim that technological incompatibility is not an access control at all is true. The AAP points to the ruling on the Internet Archive's 2006 exemption request for computer programs and video games distributed in formats that require obsolete operating systems or obsolete hardware as a condition of access. They claim that this ruling would indicate that platform restrictions on video streaming are not an access control at all, and therefore, no debate is needed. The current exemption being discussed is fundamentally different. In the case of the computer games being considered in 2006, the entirety of the copyrighted content resided on the user's computer. The game was not sent to the user in short sections, which were removed from memory after that section of the game had been played. In other words, access to the code in the game was not being controlled by a server outside the user's computer. In the case of streaming video, the server is controlling access to the content, and in the case of Netflix streaming video, the server will only grant access if the user's platform meets certain requirements. Thus, the streaming video server is making a specific platform a condition of accessing the content. This is different than the proposed 2006 exemption, where the games were designed to work on a specific platform, but that platform was not a strict requirement enforced by the content creator. The Library of Congress defines an access control mechanism as a technological measure employed to protect access to a given work. The streaming video server employs a technological measure which makes a specific platform a requirement. Put another way, a user is only authorized to stream video if they are running an approved platform. Therefore, access to the work with an unapproved platform is unauthorized and would require circumventing the technological measure. This exemption is indeed about an access control. But more importantly, this exemption is about protecting consumer choice. The content companies are not offering the solutions that all the consumers want. The companies that could possibly create those solutions are discouraged by anti-competitive forces. Platform restrictions harm consumers by imposing a high cost of access for copyrighted works. These restrictions primarily exist due to anti-competitive forces, and there is not a reasonable, non-infringing alternative. New software and hardware costs anywhere from hundreds to thousands of dollars. The two major players in the platform market, Microsoft and Apple, both have interest in preventing independent streaming services. The fact that expensive, inconvenient, non-infringing alternatives exist does not make them reasonable. Content creators demonstrate this by their own admission that new services are necessary to meet consumers' needs. The purpose of copyright law is to achieve a balance between encouraging creation and allowing the public to benefit from that creation. The approval of this exemption, I believe, would preserve that balance.
Thank you very much. Mr. Williams.
Good afternoon. My name is Matt Williams, and I am an attorney with the law firm of Mitchell, Silberberg, and Knupp, LLP. I am here on behalf of the joint creators and copyright owners. I appreciate this opportunity to express our opposition to Ms. Carney's proposal, and you're allowing me to give Stephen Metallitz a break. Given that this is the last hearing in this week's marathon, I will try to be brief. I would like to begin by highlighting that it is Ms. Carney's burden to establish that it is more likely than not that during the next 3 years, her ability to make non-infringing uses of audiovisual works will be adversely affected by the Section 1201A1 prohibition. Neither her brief prior submission nor her testimony today, I think, satisfies that burden. In addition, I would like to point out that no responsive comments were filed in support of Ms. Carney's proposal, which indicates that her views regarding the streaming video marketplace are not widespread. Before addressing the specific flaws with the proposal, I would also like to stress that Congress instructed the office to consider the positive as well as the negative effects of the Section 1201A1 prohibition. In Section 3 of our submission, as well as the submissions of MPAA and Time Warner, we describe a wide variety of innovative streaming video services that are currently available in the marketplace, and I would suggest that all of these exciting new services, including some of the services Ms. Carney is criticizing, are exactly the kinds of services that Congress intended the DMCA to facilitate. The Register has previously concluded as much in 2003 by stating that the fact that copyright owners are able to tether works to particular platforms is likely to encourage some copyright owners to make their works available in digital format. As we see it, there are several specific flaws with Ms. Carney's proposal, and I would like to highlight a few of them now. First, Ms. Carney has failed to establish that access controls are causing the problems that she claims to be encountering. In 2006, as Ms. Carney mentioned, the Register rejected a proposal made by the Internet Archive because the Archive failed to establish that operating systems were being used as access controls. The Register concluded that operating systems are designed to permit access, not to deny it, and that technological incompatibility is not the same thing as an access control. Here, Ms. Carney is complaining about technological incompatibility, and it is unclear which access controls she's asking to circumvent. I think the 2006 conclusion remains valid in this context. Second, Ms. Carney's assertions regarding the use of technological incompatibility to stifle competition appear to be incorrect given the current state of the marketplace. Although she cites an interview on a website called Hacking Netflix to support the claim that Apple is refusing to enable the Netflix Watch Instantly feature to work with Apple operating systems, Ms. Carney's own submission admits that the newer versions of the Apple operating system are compatible with the Netflix service. Third, Ms. Carney's portrayal of the limitations of various operating systems in the chart attached to her submission appears to be inaccurate, and she admits that at least one version of Vista enables her to engage in all of the activities she wishes to. Those four specific activities that she mentioned are enabling Netflix Watch Instantly function, playing DVDs without additional software, serving as a DVR, and enabling Hulu video playback. Moreover, this question of which devices or operating systems enable all of Ms. Carney's desired activities is one that is entirely irrelevant for the purpose of this proceeding. Ms. Carney is essentially asking the librarian to conclude that Ms. Carney is entitled to receive every video streaming service, play every DVD, and record all of the videos she watches online or on her television by purchasing one inexpensive device or operating system. As the Register has previously concluded in the context of proposals related to Linux devices and elsewhere, when alternative formats for viewing works are readily available, an exemption is not warranted. Ms. Carney is simply wrong that there is no reasonable, non-infringing way to accomplish the activity prevented by platform requirements. She, in fact, has access to many reasonable means, and I think as her testimony demonstrated, the main concern here is inconvenience and frustration, I think that's her quote, as well as cost. Finally, I would like to point out that the proposed exemption lacks clearly defined contours. For example, although it is limited to purchase material, Ms. Carney includes Hulu in her submission, which is a free access site, as far as I'm aware. In conclusion, Ms. Carney's proposal complains of mere inconveniences that do not even come close to justifying an exemption. The prohibition on circumventing access controls is not likely to prevent her from viewing streaming video in the next 3 years, and granting an exemption in this area would penalize copyright owners and technology providers that are rapidly developing an exciting area of the market that is constantly increasing the number of copyrighted works available to consumers at little or no cost. As expressed by MPAA and Time Warner in their submissions, copyright owners appreciate consumer desire for access in a variety of formats, and they are working to meet that demand. Thank you, and we also appreciate that you came to DC to make your case.
Ms. Carney, do you want to respond to anything they say, or do you want us to just ask questions?
Just one short thing. I mean, I think if there were really competition in this arena, there would be more than one choice. And, I mean, he's right. There is a version of Windows that will do all these things. But the fact that there's only one platform, I mean, at least appears to me to mean that there's not enough competition, that there's not enough choices for consumers, especially when that one platform has been notorious for having tricky DRM issues with respect to upgrading hardware, which changes the fingerprint essentially of the operating system, which means that Windows Vista has to reauthorize you. So it's, I would just, that one thing before you guys start.
Okay.
I guess I'm hearing assertions that your problem is really one of software incompatibility rather than technological protection measures. So can you, A, respond to that, and, B, sort of clarify for us what technological measures that control access to copyright works specifically do you have a problem with in this context?
That would be the measures on the streaming server, which require a specific platform. So essentially, in order to get to the streaming video, you'd have to circumvent that. You'd be circumventing an access control.
So there is something that sort of gets between you and the content, which if you removed that, whatever that technological measure it is, that content could be, in fact, streamed on other platforms? Is that what you're saying?
Sure. I mean, I don't
just walk us through, like, what you would do and what's missing. You want to see something, and if you could just walk us through what you want to have happen.
Maybe
you want to see something, you go onto a computer, you have an impediment, you need to circumvent, what do, and then what do you get?
Well, for instance, I have an Apple laptop, but I bought it 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago now. So it's not an Apple laptop with an Intel chip, which means that we've had a Netflix subscription that includes streaming video for 2 years now, and basically my laptop can't use it until we upgraded our TiVo. Our TiVo couldn't use it. So the TiVo HD will stream it. And Netflix has a number of devices. For instance, you could buy a Roku, which will stream TiVo for you, but it won't do much else, right? And he pointed out that I used Hulu in my charts. I was just trying to demonstrate that the stuff available on Hulu isn't the same set as the stuff available on Netflix, so pretending that Hulu is a replacement for Netflix streaming video is not exactly accurate. But you asked me to walk you through what happens. You basically open up a web browser, and you go to Netflix's site, and you log in, so it authenticates you for your account, and then you go to your list of things you want to watch, and then when you click on something you want to watch, Netflix installs something on your system, which it talks to, in order to authorize you to view the content on your list. Now, it won't install that thing if it's not Windows or Apple with an Intel chip.
So you try to go on with your Apple computer, and it doesn't work for you.
It won't even attempt to install any sort of client.
Okay. And the exemption would allow you to do what? to make it work?
It would allow someone to build a program which would be able to access the Netflix streaming site and circumvent the DRM, basically, to watch stuff that they had legally purchased.
Is there content that's available from Netflix just in streaming that is not available on DVD?
I wasn't able to answer that question. I looked around, and I don't know.
But it's somebody else who would build the program that you would then...
I have no plans to write it. I just I think that somebody should be able to build it if they want.
Okay, I got it.
So what exactly is the access control that you say needs to be circumvented?
I don't have the details of the Netflix program, but the streaming server will not stream to you if you are not on one of the approved platforms.
And if you removed whatever that obstacle was, would your software actually be able to play that stream?
Sure. In theory, you could write software that would play streams from Netflix on Linux, but in order to do so, you would have to circumvent their DRM.
But is it clear that there's something preventing that, or that the software that Netflix is going to put on your computer is software that has been created for a different operating system, an Intel-based or Intel-based computers? So that program, in essence, then, aren't you really asking them to build more robust programs that are available in any format?
Well, I certainly understand that Netflix as a company feels like it needs to concentrate its efforts on the most popular platforms. And certainly as a company, they have a right to choose to concentrate their resources in that way. But as a user, I feel like if there's a program out there that could be written to access this content...
That almost sounds like interoperability. It's that your computer is not... It's old, and it doesn't have the current operating system of Apple, which is what the Netflix authenticating service is looking for. You're saying it's the Intel chip.
I don't know exactly what the client that gets installed on the operating system does.
Okay.
But since they won't even download a client to my operating system, it's not really that there's, I think it's not really that there's an access control on the computer itself.
Almost sounds like obsolete hardware.
I'm not sure about this, but it seems like to a certain extent, does this have to do with the decision of when to purchase certain equipment? And I think for most consumers, there's always the decision of, for instance, if someone was thinking of getting an Apple iPhone, well, you know that there may be a different version coming out in 6 months, and if you want to get the added features that are going to be coming out on the new phone, although you may want one now, there's some benefit to waiting for 6 months so that you have all of those features. What isn't what you're asking for, no matter when you buy a particular device or software with that you be able to reap the benefits of anything that that afterwards is developed without having to upgrade or get the new hardware?
Well, first of all, my laptop may not have been purchased in the last couple of years, but it certainly runs most other programs fine. So in that respect, it's not obsolete. It simply doesn't have a system on it that has a DRM program that's blessed by Netflix, and that's why it won't run the Netflix streaming video. Now, as to what you seem to be pointing to as an interoperability issue, if there's an access control on the server that refuses to allow me to get to the content simply because of my operating system, well, that's an access control, and if I were to get around it, I believe that would be a violation of the DMCA. So I think there certainly could be a client written to make this work on any operating system. But again, I don't think it would be legal to write that under the current law.
Offering Netflix as an example, or is that really what your complaint is about the Netflix streaming
Netflix
service?
Netflix is just the easiest example. Okay. There are certainly other services that stream only to specific platforms, and I assume some of these charge subscription fees Hulu has actually done a great job of overcoming some of these platform issues because they work on Linux, they work on Macs, and they work on Windows. However, Hulu doesn't have a lot of past versions of shows. It tends to have current stuff, which is great, you know, for those of us who don't have cable, but it's certainly not as complete as the catalog of something like, say, Netflix or another streaming service could offer.
Matt, do you have any information whether, with respect to the services we're talking about so far, do you have a point of view or any information to share on the extent to which there are, in fact, access controls that prevent the kind of use that Megan would like to engage in?
I think that Netflix probably uses an access control to ensure that only subscribers can access content. I don't believe that she's established that they have an access control in place to prevent her operating system from connecting. It's that they have worked to enable operating systems to connect, and now Apple's newer versions do connect. There's at least two, I believe, instead of one, versions of Vista that will connect. And so I think they have made efforts to enable access to operating systems. There is no access control that I know of that they're using to prevent other operating systems from connecting. It's just they're not compatible with
the way it's designed. So are you saying that if I wrote a client tomorrow that would let me stream Netflix video on a Linux system, that the MPAA would have no objection to that? Because if there's no access control that I'm circumventing, then they wouldn't care if I wrote that client, right?
Well, I'm saying that you haven't established that or identified any access control that you're asking for permission to circumvent. I'm just not clear on what it is that you want to do. And so I can't really address your question.
Matt, let me ask you this, because I certainly can't identify, I'm not aware of any access control there either, but why would I be? Are you representing to us that there isn't any, or are you in the same position that I am? You just don't know.
I just don't know, and okay. I know that I've looked at these websites that they are touting the number of operating systems that they're trying to get on board. I didn't see any evidence that they're discouraging, you know, trying to limit themselves to prevent competition. I didn't see that.
Megan, have you looked at any of our past rulings and past rulemakings?
I have a little bit, yes.
Okay. I mean, do you know that one of the things we've said pretty consistently is that if you want to get an exemption, it's your burden to establish that there is, in fact, an access control? Do you think you've given us enough information to evaluate that? Because I have to say, I don't see it in front of me. So it's sort of hard for me to make a judgment when I have what's basically a conclusory assertion that there's an access control out there. Well, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I just don't think I have that information in front of me.
Well, if there were no access control, then my laptop should be able to stream that content, right? Somebody would have come up with a client to
stream that content. Not necessarily. I mean, I don't know if that's that might be one reason why. Another reason just might be that the software you have, the operating system you have, is one that's not the current one that's being marketed, and people who are making these kinds of things are focusing on the currently marketed operating systems. I just don't know, is my point. And one thing that we've said in the past, and maybe you could persuade us to change it, but you've got to be the one to persuade us to change it, is that if you want to make a case for us, you've got to give us enough information for us to understand that there is, in fact, a technological measure that controls access that you would need to circumvent or someone would need to circumvent in order to engage in this activity. I mean, there's a lot of things you have to prove, but that's the first thing. And so far, I don't see it. If it's put in front of me, I'll see it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Have you contacted Netflix to find out why it doesn't work or what you would have to do to make it work?
Well, the reason it works on the Intel chips is because there's a digital rights management software that works on the Intel chips that Netflix has been able to license to put in their client to allow streaming. So there is no, because Apple didn't license its digital rights management software and the PPC chip to Netflix to make the client.
I got it.
So that's specifically in the case of Netflix.
Okay, how do you know that? How do you know what you just told us?
Oh, well, there was the online source, and that's basically what I was told when I contacted technical support.
Okay. There's something online that actually would give us that information. But you've not pointed us to that at all, correct? I mean, is it?
It's in the comment?
Okay, good. All right, good.
But as far as the access control issue, if it's denying me access, the server is denying me access to the content based on the fact that they don't have a specific operating system, it's not just that it's attempting to give me content that my computer can't understand or that my computer is crashing when it runs. It's not giving me the content at all.
Can I ask a question, Matt? If just trying to get a sense if there could be or is an access control involved in the Netflix example, if there was a proprietary player that is being offered by Netflix that is only available for if it meets the requirements. So you can download a proprietary player in which to access the streaming video. Wouldn't that constitute a protection measure or access for the content that is then being streamed through that proprietary player? And given the fact that that would be the only means of accessing the streaming content.
I guess it very well might be an access control in that scenario, but I don't know that that would inevitably be the case.
Okay. I had a question for Ms. Carney. Are you aware, and in the prior testimony, we've had a lot of people talking about how there's, for instance, the codes easily available to decrypt DVDs, and there's codes easily available to decrypt cell phones, we heard earlier today. Are you aware of any codes that do the thing that you are looking to do?
I am not, but to be honest, I haven't looked around a lot for it. I feel like if I don't want to do something illegal just to watch TV, so I mean, I would like to have it be legal, but if it's not, there are some things I guess I just
thought
don't
maybe
watch
on
laptop.
A bulletin board or something that people have mentioned, not that you personally used it.
Oh, no, I don't know of anything, but I really haven't looked around, okay. So it's possible that something exists. Most other DRMs have been cracked in some way, shape, or form, so it's actually likely, but I don't really know.
Okay. Can I ask you, I've followed that link, and I'm looking at it on this device, and maybe I'm not looking at the right thing, but you might be able to quickly confirm for me whether we're talking about the same thing. The link that you provided in your testimony takes me to the following pretty short statement. Netflix blames Apple for lack of Watch Instantly on the Mac. Takes on Tech interviewed Netflix's VP of Corporate Communications, Steven Swayze, at CES, and they talked about the LG partnership, the HD DVD Blu-ray battle, Watch Instantly Macintosh support, and more. Swayze blamed Apple for the delay in launching Watch Instantly for the Mac, since Apple will not license the Fair Play digital rights management technology. Is that what you're referring to? Now, Fair Play, as I understand it, and I'm hardly an expert, Fair Play is a digital rights technology that Apple has, not that Netflix has, not that it's there to protect the content streamed by Netflix. It has something to do with Apple's own players, correct?
True. What I was referring to with that point is the fact that because Apple has an interest in the streaming video business, the marketplace for Apple to license its digital rights management to Netflix or to any other company that wants to stream video, you know, they have an interest in keeping competitors out, basically.
So is it Fair Play you're trying to circumvent? It doesn't sound to me like that would be the case.
No. Because Fair Play is no part of the Netflix system.
Okay.
It wouldn't be part of the
system. Then I get back to my earlier question. What evidence do we have that there is some kind of digital rights management attached to the Netflix stream, which you need to get past in order to watch that? Because this just tells me that Apple's got some digital rights management of its own that's got nothing to do with what Netflix is streaming.
The point I was trying to get to with that was that the marketplace is skewed by the fact that the operating system makers, in this case Apple and Microsoft, both have interests in streaming video businesses themselves.
Okay, but the point, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
But in terms of access control, I think the proprietary player is probably as good of an analogy as you're going to get for what Netflix has done. They have basically released a streaming service, provided players for certain platforms, and they will refuse to even attempt to show you the content if you don't have that specific platform with that little bit of code they put on your system that lets you play the content. So that, and I'm not a lawyer, certainly, but in terms of a technological measure that protects access to the work, Netflix is, through technology, protecting access to the work and not allowing me to access it because I have an Apple laptop with a PPC chip.
Okay, the one thing I heard from you that may be a suggestion of a technological protection measure is your reference to that little piece of code that lets you play it. What's your source that there is that little piece of code that lets you play it? And then beyond that, what makes that little piece of code a technological measure that controls access to a work?
It installs something on Windows systems when it plays. What exactly the nature of that code is, I don't know.
Okay, what's your source for that, though? Because I mean, I'm hearing you assert it, but I need more than your bare assertion that it exists. What's your source for that?
I've watched it install. I mean, it does install something on the Windows OS when it plays content. If you need an outside source for that, I didn't bring one.
Well, I've just not heard anything that persuades me that what you're talking about is an access control. Something is installed on the computer. Okay, but I don't know what it is. I heard you in the same response talk about incompatible operating systems and how Netflix designs it to play in only one operating system. We've had plenty of assertions in past rulemakings about that, and what I think has been pretty clear to us is that from our point of view, certainly, and you're going to have the burden of persuading us differently, the fact that something is designed to play only on one operating system and interacts only with an operating system does not constitute a technological measure that controls access. It's just that it's...
Well, maybe we should look at a different example.
If we want to do anything for you.
Let's say instead of a streaming service, we were talking about a file, and that this file contained video, and that this video file was designed to work on Windows only. Now, if I moved that file to a Mac and attempted to play it, there would be no technological access control preventing me from playing it, but it wouldn't play because it was designed to work with Windows. That's technological incompatibility. Mm-hmm. And other. Mm-hmm. In this case, what the Netflix streaming server is doing is it's not even giving me access to the video because I don't have the correct operating system. So it's not that the content's there. My operating system is just unable to play it. I'm not even given the opportunity to see the content on my computer. And
your computer couldn't play it because you don't have the operating system that interacts with the stream, correct?
I don't know that it couldn't play it. If I don't see the stream, then how could I ever decode the video?
How do we know that this code that you're talking about is actually preventing you from seeing the video? I mean, there could be any number of reasons why you can't see the video, starting with the fact that you've got incompatible software.
The streaming server won't stream video. As to the specifics of the code that disallows that, I am not party. I would have no way of knowing, but that's the best example I can give you.
Okay. If you've read any of our past decisions, you know that another thing that I think we've said in each of the rulemakings is mere inconvenience is not sufficient to make the case. Now, you've talked about the inconvenience, but I'm not sure you've gone beyond that. Explain to us why this is more than an inconvenience.
Well, because if you look at the various services they've talked about, and there are a bunch of them, none of them covers all of the possible situations. And I think that to expect somebody to invest a large amount of time and money to cover everything they want is unreasonable. I mean, it's not just about convenience, it's about resources. It's about being able to have choice as a consumer. And aside from investing time and money, as I said, I don't think market forces are at play here. I don't think that there's competition in the marketplace for people to develop things because of restrictions like the streaming video restriction. The fact that there's only one platform available that will do everything I want and that platform is known for having difficulties, I mean, that's a pretty sad state of affairs for the average consumer.
Okay, you may or may not have read our first rulemaking decision, but in that case, we had people who tried to make the case to us that because DVDs protected by CSS cannot be played on Linux machines, we should issue an exemption allowing people to play on Linux machines. And we made a determination there, which I think we have continued in each of the subsequent rulemakings, that the fact that you can't play a particular medium, particular work on the platform of your choice is not sufficient to justify an exemption as long as there are other platforms available. So I gather you're asking us to change our minds on that principle. Is that correct? Or is there some way we can get where you want us to go without departing from that principle?
I think it's a slightly different question when you're talking about one video versus when you're talking about an entire library. I mean, conceivably, for us, now that we have a TiVo that does Netflix streaming, we basically have cable. And we have cable for the cost of a Netflix subscription, which is, you know, $16 a month. And that's a pretty cool thing. And that is the kind of marketplace solutions I would like to see come up. And I feel like these restrictions, specifically streaming video is one of them, make those solutions not come up as often. And when you're talking about one DVD, I think that, as I said, I think that's a different issue. Than
weren't we actually talking about all DVDs?
Well, one work at a time, though, versus an entire library.
Well, I assume you watch them one work at a time, too. If you could watch Netflix, you wouldn't be watching 27 different streams at once. You do it one at a time, right?
I feel like it's a different issue. I think that this is an issue that has to do with consumer choice, that has to do with that has to do with market forces, and I think it's important to let the consumers have at least the chance for a company to build something that makes sense. I mean, it seems to me that it's kind of, I guess silly is the best word I can think of, that underneath my TV, if I want to do more than two or three things, I have to have a pile of five or six boxes. I mean, you have a DVD player, you have your DVR, you have something that streams video maybe, if your DVR doesn't stream video. It just doesn't seem like a burden that we should put on consumers, to me.
Anyone else? Well, thank you very much. You have done yeoman's work in 4 days. I think it's only, two panels that you weren't on and this one that you didn't have to speak on. That's pretty amazing. But this concludes the hearings. Obviously, as we start to work through all of the evidence and all of the arguments, there may well be questions that we might send to you. And, but thank you very much.
Thank you, all the members of the panel.
Thank you.
Thank you.